ruined your Sunday. Well, it was a wild weekend of football across the board, man. Controversy, index cards, weird controversial calls, blown opportunities, and all-around meltdowns. Now, listen, I know this segment, I'm honest. I know this segment isn't quite as fun since I don't bet on the Cincinnati Bengals anymore. Like, I'm actually smart. And I know you guys, Morenci always says he doesn't bet on the Bengals anymore, but I generally don't. You know, remember I said I'm never doing it again? And that was about 2 months ago. And the only last time I bet on the Bengals was against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was actually last week, whatever it was. And it covered. The Bengals actually covered. But I abandoned ship since then. So I didn't bet on them yesterday, but I still have some thoughts on the Cincinnati Bengals and them rolling over yesterday like the gutless thugs that they are. You guys sincerely are the definition, you know, of the word punk. You know the word punk, you think of like Sid Vicious, you think of a punk rocker, you think of a squeegee kid with like six pit bulls on the corner. You know, you think of punk. No. When you think of punk, look at a Cincinnati Bengal player. All right? Marvin Lewis is a good guy. Marvin Lewis was loyal to a fault to these jackasses. Loyal to a fault to Andy Dalton. Loyal to a fault to Vontaze Perfect. Loyal to a fault to, you know, to Pac-Man Jones. You go down the list and the transgressions and the stupid things that these players have done on a football field to cost Marvin Lewis chances to win games is an abomination. All right? They're cheap shard artists. They're punks. And we find out that they're gutless cowards as well. Your coach, basically, he doesn't want to tap out. You think Marvin Lewis wants to quit? Marvin Lewis doesn't want to quit. Marvin Lewis sees, I don't have a choice. You know, you guys, you're rolling over every week. You're not playing for me. I don't have a choice. So Marvin Lewis bent over backwards for you freaking thugs over the years. And he says, you know what? I got to go, man. And he did have to go. And Marvin Lewis isn't a perfect coach, and he should have benched Andy Dalton a long time ago. And he should have gotten rid of some of these guys a long time ago. But he's a loyal guy. And you know how they replay him yesterday? By rolling over and getting their freaking asses handed to them by a Minnesota Viking team. For shame. You didn't ruin my Sunday. You've ruined a hell of a lot of my Sundays over the years, though. And this is pretty much the icing on the cake. You know, the Cincinnati Bengals are a bunch of gutless, spineless, coward, thug, punk-ass bitches. Is that pretty clear? You know, I'm on TV. I'd like to raise it up a notch a little bit more, but I just want to be, you know, be clear about what I think about your team. You know what? Yeah, Marvin Lewis deserved better, man. Simple as that. Just like I deserve better from the Seattle Seahawks yesterday. What the hell was that? What the hell was that? Are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me? Listen, I understand you're not going to win every bet, and I don't get mad at teams for losing football games or basketball games or fighters for fights. What I get mad at is if you roll over and you don't give us an honest effort. And I don't know what the hell was going on yesterday with you guys. You know, don't tell me, oh, Seattle had injuries. Had nothing to do with injuries. Even if everyone would have played, it would have been the same thing. The Seattle Seahawks have been flying close to the sun for a couple of years now, and they finally got torched, and it's not pretty. These guys don't handle losses very well, all right? This is a football team in which the players don't really like each other very much. And the key word here is team, because the Rams are actually a team. The Seahawks are a collection of jackasses, in which Russell Wilson has actually carried on his back for years, yet the guys on the defense have taken credit for it. I get it. Richard Sherman's not there, but Richard Sherman hasn't been the player that – he's not the same player anymore. He's still good, but they've been imploding for a little while. There have been cracks, but Russell Wilson's able to he's able to get through it. Yet it was a complete embarrassment yesterday. It was an abomination, and – you know, you're just classless. That's the thing with Seattle. You're just classless. So, you know, at least Michael Bennett didn't try to cheap shot anybody this time and ruin anybody's career. Remember Michael Bennett? I'm the big victim. Oh, the Las Vegas Police Department racially profiled me. Dude, there was a shooting in a casino. You are seen running out of the casino, hiding behind slot machines, and you run out into the street. What the hell are the cops supposed to think? The cops weren't even white that pulled Bennett over. That whole story about Bennett was a pile of crap, all right? It was a pile of crap. He plays the big victim card. You know, I got her, you know, and I listen, I know there's a lot of racial profiling that goes on, but, you know, it's the boy that cried wolf stuff. You see the video, the Las Vegas Police Department was right to show the video and go, this guy's full of it. We didn't racially profile anybody. The guy was running and hiding, you know, so anyway, so Michael Bennett's not this big, you know, victim that he made himself out to be. And then last week against Jacksonville, he tried to end someone's career, essentially, by diving at their knees when they were taking a freaking knee. You've got Earl Thomas calls out Bobby Wagner yesterday. Like, really? So Bobby Wagner's injured. He sucks it up and he plays. Earl Thomas says after the game, Bobby Wagner shouldn't have played because the backups would have done a better job. Yeah, like, that's going to go down well. So Bobby Wagner says Earl Thomas, people like to use this phrase nowadays. They didn't use this growing up when I was a kid. Keep my name out of your mouth seems to be a big thing. Like that guy Birdman, you better keep my name. Put some respect on my name. That's what it was, right? People say I'm old. I'm out of touch. Come on, man. Put some respect on my name. Yeah, so... Well, I guess on the plus side, at least no one on the Seahawks tried to go into the stands and beat up a fan after the game yesterday. Oh, wait, he wouldn't have been able to do that because the bandwagon Seahawks fans left. Can't wait to see how full that stadium is in a couple of years, just like you jackass Patriot fans. All right, which leads me into, yeah, Seattle, you ruined my Sunday. All right, this can't be an hour segment here. let's say in the Pittsburgh here. I don't know what Ben Roethlisberger was doing, and I still don't know what the hell Ben Roethlisberger is doing because he's like a politician. He spun it around so many times after. I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. So listen, I bet on I had a teaser with the Steelers to the over. That's a winner. I had the over in the game. I bought it down to 51 because I had a weird feeling. I didn't like the 52.5 that was up on the board. I got a push, but I needed a damn win because I lost a lot of money on the Seattle game. So I'm about to get the win. I thought it was a win with the catch, and was it a catch or not? And listen, it's not a catch, okay? I lost money on that. That cost me about $900 yesterday. That little sequence, okay? People are telling me on Twitter, I don't know what I'm talking about, that I'm biased, you stupid idiots. I would have won more money if that was a touchdown, okay? But I'm actually honest. I call it like I see it. It's not a catch. I mean, the rules are stupid. It is what it is, but the rules are the rules, okay? It's not a catch. You know, and maybe you shouldn't have reached for the damn end zone. Maybe you should have secured the damn football. It's not a catch, just like the index card. Whatever, it is what it is. It was a first down. As crazy and as controversial as the calls were yesterday in the NFL, I'm going to surprise people. I agreed with all of them. It is what it is. Sometimes it doesn't go your way. It doesn't go your way. But I don't know what Ben Roethlisberger was doing, man. And the thing about Ben Roethlisberger is he lied after the game. Unless some weird magical, you know, invisible coach told him to do this, he said that the bench told him not to spike it. So if you guys had a plan and the bench told you not to spike it, how come nobody else on the team knew this besides Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Rogers? You watch the replay. Ben Roethlisberger was locked into Eli Rogers the whole time. New England Patriot players said after that they knew he was going to Rogers, that they basically saw him sort of do the little eye thing. You know, Ben Roethlisberger gambled and he lost. And instead of taking it like a man after the fact, he lied about it. Makes me wonder what else Ben is lying about in his life. I'm sure we got the real story what happened in that bathroom stall, huh? Just saying. So, and Mike Tomlin's a good guy. Yeah, Tomlin told you to do that. Tomlin, that's not even talking to you. Haley's the one talking to you. And I have a hard time believing with 7 seconds left in this game, in the middle of the chaos, in the fog of war, that Todd Haley's telling you to do anything. All right? It's freaking ridiculous. Yeah, and this is the second time Ben's distanced himself from the team this year. Remember earlier in the anthem stuff, I didn't want to do that. I lost sleep over it. Yeah, you know, you said something about after the fact, 48 hours after the fact. Ben Roethlisberger used to be known in NFL circles as the biggest jerk in the league, okay? And, like, his teammates never liked him. Other players in the league, no one really ever likes Ben, but they respect him as a player. Ben Roethlisberger has gone out of his way over the last couple of years to be a good guy, if you notice. He's nicer to the media. He celebrates with teammates. Yet he seems to be, you know, undoing everything that he's done over the last couple of years by dissing himself from the team. He threw his teammates under the bus after the anthem stuff, and now he throws his coaching staff under the bus after this football game last night. And unlike a lot of teams, the Steeler players actually like Mike Tomlin. So I imagine right now in the room, there's a lot of guys thinking, what the hell did Ben, why is Ben saying this to the media after the fact? All I know is it ruined my Sunday, okay? And I'm sick and tired of watching people gift wrap wins and giving them to the New England freaking Patriots. The New England Patriots have ruined my Sunday. The Pittsburgh Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger ruined my Sunday. Who ruined yours?
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game time decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, I got a lot off my chest off the start of the program. You know, like we said, there were a lot of controversial calls yesterday. The league was actually right on all of them. It is what it is, a stupid rule with, you know, I never understood that either, why if a quarterback or a running back for a split second gets the ball, you know, just touches the line a little bit, that it's automatically a touchdown even if he loses it right after, and the player that catches it doesn't. You got to complete the process. I've said it a million times. If I was in charge, I would make it so the ball can't hit the ground at all. Yeah, that's the way it used to be growing up. You could juggle it. You could bobble it. You know, you didn't have to have possession. You know, you didn't have possession of it. It didn't matter. As long as it didn't hit the ground, you were good. It would be much easier because now we get into this, did he control it on the ground and all this other crap. But the NFL is like, it's like government. You know, there's not less laws as time goes on. There's more laws. You know, they added like 2,700 laws to the dockets last year, and they didn't take away any laws. You know, that's the society we live in right now. Tony Cincata's going to step up and in. Paul Bovey's going to join us. We got a great show today. Steve Merrill bats leadoff. Steve Merrill, what's up, Steve?
Yeah, politicians always tout their success by how many bills they pass.
I know.
And most people don't realize, I mean, you and I realize it, but 95% of people are like, that's good. It's the exact opposite. And I remember John Stossel is the one that always says this. He goes, politicians never remove a law, even if it's, yeah, you know, it's ancient, yet they always add them.
I like Stossel. Stossel's a smart guy.
Libertarian, solid libertarian.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're exactly right.
He used to be
right.
A liberal, too. And he used to be on the other side, too. That's what's funny about it. He kind of saw the light finally as he got older.
Yeah, I saw Paul Ryan patting himself on the back the other day. He goes, yeah, we passed 457 bills. I'm thinking it's not good.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. It's not
456
good.
Too many, probably.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, in other words, you added 457 new things to mess with people's lives. That's what, you know. I mean, we took away regulation. Yeah, but you added 456 new things.
Yeah, you know, the reason this is kind of on the forefront, too, Gabe, we haven't talked about this yet, but and a lot of people might not even realize it's going on, but two weeks ago today, back on December 4th on Monday, the Supreme Court heard the New Jersey versus the NCAA and NFL betting case.
You know,
Christie has lost 5 or 6 times, and they're going to rule on it here in a couple months, probably early spring, maybe 3 months. We could have sports betting in 10 or 20 states overnight. If not, it'll be another year or two. Congress is going to eventually overturn it sooner than later. But my fear there, and I've been talking to a lot of people about this here the past month, is overregulation when these states get their hands on it. I hope they don't run it through the lottery like Canada did, and you can talk about that better than anybody.
It's a good point.
You know, and I hope Vegas can do it. But like here in Virginia was actually the first state out of all 50 a couple years ago to regulate fantasy sports. And there again, I'm not in favor of that. I don't think you need to have it regulated. You should have your own company if you want. But at least they were on the forefront of legitimizing it. And I think it's a $50,000 licensing fee each year if you want to be like a DraftKings. You could do that in Virginia. But my concern is that they're going to run it through the lottery. They're going to run it through the ABC stores, which is the alcohol stores here, which are all state-owned also.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I aren't going to have a part of it, basically.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's a great point you raised, Steve. And it's funny because what they do as well, they'll make the anti-gambling laws even more extreme. You know what I mean? Because they'll say, okay, now, you know, like law enforcement will get a piece of this behind the scenes. They'll say, okay, now that you're making this legal, if we catch someone bookmaking, it's going to be, you know, let's really nail them then, because they're taking money out of our pocket now, right?
And yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing now in Canada, Steve, with marijuana. Everybody demanded marijuana get legalized. Like, you know, they didn't do a public referendum on it, but Canadians are pretty liberal, and yeah, it was literally like, you know, 68% of Canadians, the exception of a couple of old people, you know, it was like, just legalize the damn thing. They haven't even legalized it yet, and everyone's like, you know what, just don't legalize it. Just don't. They actually traded off a deal with the cops. It's like draconian like laws in Alabama. Jeff Sessions might as well have done this. They're like, yeah, it went from 4 years to 14 years. So the cops basically said, yeah, if you legalize it, you know, you better throw us some bones. And exactly what you said, it's the same thing. They want to sell it through the government-run liquor stores. Yeah, and the government of Ontario screw everything up, Steve. They have a bigger deficit in California. They're a bunch of dumb liberals. They don't know how to do anything. They want to charge $20 a gram when you can buy it for $12 and, you know, for a good quality, or $10 right now. They're going to screw everything up, like you said. It's amazing.
Yeah, and that's exactly what concerns me, because the one reason this is going to happen isn't just because there's popular support for sports betting, but because there's so much money being left on the table. You know, there's an estimate 99% of it is still underground.
Steve, I heard Jersey wants to charge 20-cent juice, like 20-cent line,
exactly,
minus 120.
And that's my concern, because the reason it's going to happen is because of all the tax dollars. But then if they overtax it, it's going to completely defeat the purpose. And I know England, I think back in the 1980s when the United Kingdom first had legalized sports betting, I could be wrong on the numbers here, but they had like a 10% tax on winnings back 30 years ago. So say you were laying 110 to win 100 like normal, you would also be taxed 10%. So it's basically
ridiculous.
Like 110 to win 90. And that's what I'm afraid could happen as well in some states.
One of the miracles of Canada, I never like saying this out loud because I'm always scared they're going to change this, but they don't tax gambling. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you win a lottery, Steve, you keep every cent. Like,
that makes no sense.
Yeah, you keep every cent. Like, there's no tax. I can win an $80,000 parlay tomorrow. I won't pay a cent of tax on it.
And you all have pretty high tax rates, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
right?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Like you said,
oh,
it's fairly liberal.
45%.
So. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's surprising.
Yeah.
I guess they figure they're getting enough already. But by the way, I love when you, and I understand what you mean by liberal people, you know, are in favor of drugs. But what cracks me up is that the most liberal people want more government than anything. So that's why I love the libertarian stance, because they're in favor of legalized gambling, drugs, everything, but they want no regulation or
exactly.
Less regulation.
Yeah, I'm a libertarian myself. You know,
right.
That's exactly right. I don't care what anyone does. You know, you're free to do what you do, and don't get in other people's way doing it. All right, so favorites continue to dominate the National Football League. Unbelievable, man. You know, 13-0-2. We used the two because, you know, there were a couple of games where it was a pick'em. It was plus one. It was bouncing around, per se. You know, we say like the Chiefs game was a good example of that on Saturday, and a Seattle game yesterday with the Rams.
Right.
But favorites continue to dominate. It's unbelievable. They had the Steelers stuff, and depends on some people added a 2.5, some people added a 3. The total falls just short. Pretty crazy day yesterday in the NFL, Steve.
Yeah, I had two sides this weekend, or on Sunday rather, and I had the Patriots and the Rams. So when I saw you said 13-0, I'm thinking, well, I won an underdog, but you're right, they were plus one, you know, and it was hovering around pick'em.
Yeah, and
City
Seattle were
one.
Minus one at some points, too. Like, so yeah,
right.
It was all over the place.
Yeah, and in the Kansas City game, they were plus one, but they were actually a favorite earlier in the week. But yeah, what's funny is my third play was the over in the Pittsburgh game. So I actually won the New England play. But had they not thrown the interception, they kick the field goal and go to overtime, I win the over, and I could still win the
exactly.
New England play if they win. So it actually kind of screwed me a little bit. And it's funny because when I was watching that happen, when they got the 65-yard pass play to get down to the red zone, I was like, damn it, there goes my New England play. And then I realized, wait a second, I'm
going
to win the
overtime,
over
and maybe you win it overtime.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely win the over, and I could win both now. So it's this emotional roller coaster as always.
Yeah, it was sort of the opposite with me. I had a Pittsburgh teaser to the over, so I was winning that. But I had an over as well in the game. So I was sort of mixed. I was like, what do I need here? All right, I need New England to score, and I need Pittsburgh to score, and nearly all happened. All right, Steve, time's flying by on the show today. Falcons and Bucks tonight, 6.5, 48.5 right now. Falcons have won 4 of their last 5 football games. They're in control of their own destiny right now. Last 3 games in this series have gone over the number, Steve, and I'm kind of thinking that we have some points put up on the board tonight again.
Yeah, and this reminds me a lot of last Monday night. We talked about the Dolphin-Patriot game, and I mean, I think Tampa's a better team than Miami. They're capable, and Atlanta probably not quite as good as New England. But, you know, I liked Miami last week as the big dog, and it was really hard to justify it other than just a bad spot for New England. And it was a divisional game. It was a primetime game, and the Patriots still came out extremely flat. got caught looking ahead to the Pittsburgh game. Not having Gronkowski hurt them. But you can make the same argument here. I mean, Atlanta's coming off two huge games against the Vikings and Saints. And, yes, this is a Monday night, you know, divisional game, but I think it's a potential flat spot. And Atlanta also not as good on the road. They're not as good outside. And this is actually their first road game in a month. So it'll be interesting to see how this game plays out. But you could definitely make a case that it's not a great spot for the Falcons, despite being a primetime national TV game.
Joel Embiid, quickly on the way out here with a couple of basketball games, Steve. Joel Embiid not playing for the Sixers tonight. And I don't know if people realize this, but the Chicago Bulls have won five straight games. Not covered, but won outright, Steve. Without,
as a dog.
Yeah, without Markkanen in the lineup, too. He's missed the last three games. But Mirotic is back. They've amended. They made a defense with Bobby Portis. Mirotic has been a big difference for this team. Chris Dunn's playing some good basketball right now. No Joel Embiid tonight. What do you make of this game? Down to 1.5 now.
Yeah, this is a Chicago Bulls team that started the season 3-20. 3-20 straight up their first 23 games. They've now won five in a row as an underdog, and they've been a 5.5-point dog or more in four of those five games. So there's no question this is a different Bulls squad, and I'm not sure they've caught up yet to the odds makers because they're still a 1-point home dog tonight. So this is one of those situations. Yep. Don't get in the way of that momentum.
I like the Bulls, exactly. Why get in the way of this? And plus, Philly keeps playing these emotional games on TV and against big teams, and then they don't have Embiid tonight. I agree with the opinion there with Merrill. And in closing, weird basketball game here. It's just a weird, time of the year for Valpo to go play Santa Clara. It's weird for Valpo to play Santa Clara to begin with. But I guess Santa Clara went to Valpo last year, so it is what it is. I just find it to be a strange matchup, and I bring it up because it's going to be the D-Gen special, Steve. It's the last game on the board tonight. So you got the old Santa Clara-Valpo West Coast special this evening. Valpo's 8-3, but they've been getting tattooed against good teams. They've lost their last three games. You know, Valpo have played six straight unders, guys. Six straight unders. But I look, Steve, none of the totals were as low as the total was. And it was 133. It's been bet up to 136 right now. You know, both these teams have been scoring. I mean, Valpo scores 73. They get up 69. Santa Clara scores 68, give up 72. I thought the number was a little low, but the market agreed and bet it up to 136.
Yeah, and Santa Clara plays at a pretty slow pace, but they're a terrible defensive team. They're giving up 49% shooting from the field this year and almost 44% from three-point range. The problem is that Valpo's not a great outside shooting team, so you know we'll see if they can take advantage on the road. But, yeah, Santa Clara, terrible defense.
Steve Merrill, you can get his picks over at coversexperts.com. Check out Steve's website, prosportsinfo.com. Always a pleasure, Steve. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Gabe.
Tony Cincata will join us next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game time decisions on a fantasy sports network continues. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Let's bring in the Tony Cincata on Twitter. That's right. You can follow him on Twitter at the Tony Cincata. Don't miss Lineup Lock Live with Dane Martinez Monday to Fridays at 6 o'clock Eastern on the fantasy sports radio and television networks. Tony Cincata's late night radio show weeknights at 11 o'clock Eastern. Let's bring Tony in now and talk some DFS, man. No Monday, Thursday. We got a Monday-Saturday contest this week. Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing well, yeah. We get three games instead of two, so this is a bargain.
Yeah, so, you know, the Colts and the Ravens is one of those games, though. And
yes.
The other one is the Vikings and the Packers. So out of the three games, really, this would be the game that logic, and doesn't mean logic means anything in fantasy or sports or betting, Tony, but logically, this is the one that you would expect to be the most offensive fantasy production from.
Yeah, so tonight I really look at this. I think the two quarterbacks to choose from are from this game. I think you look at it, Matt Ryan, and you look at it, Jameis Winston, and it's $6,300 for Matt Ryan, and he's underachieved all year long. And you look at this Tampa defense, 32nd in the league against the pass. Yet Matt Ryan only has two games of over 20 fantasy points this season. I'm going to back him again tonight, even though my instincts tell me not to.
You know what's funny? He's basically had one, Julio Jones has had one monster game this year.
Yeah.
And it was against these guys. And from a prop perspective as well, you know, Matt Ryan, because the completion for his props tonight are is 23.5. So I was looking at his game logs, and he's only gone over 23.5 five times. And three times it was at 24. The most is, long story short, guys, he pretty much had the best game of the year for him. He was 26-35, 317 yards. You know, he put up 19 DK points in that football game. But going back to last year, he lit them up as well. And you mentioned Julio Jones. He had his best game of the year against the Bucs. 12 catches, 253 yards, two touchdowns, racked up 53 DK points. Yet Jones has owned them. Jones had eight catches for 101 yards and a score at Tampa last year as well. So Julio and Matt Ryan have had success against this Buccaneers scheme over the last 2 years.
Yeah, both those guys in my lineup, and I'm going to use Devonta Freeman tonight. No Tevin Coleman there, and the price is depressed at $6,200 on Devonta Freeman. So I think those guys come in big. And a guy that I'm going to go on the other side of this game, a lot of shine people are off Mike Evans and looking at him in a disparaging way. And yet I'm looking at the $6,800 price tag, and sometimes you have to price enforce. He has not been as good lately with four fantasy points, 5, 13, 14, to 2, 11. I'm going to go with Mike Evans one more time. Jameis Winston, look his way.
I agree with you. And, you know, like we said, I'd rather have Mike Evans and T.Y. Hilton or Mike Wallace or, you know, the guys are on the Baltimore Ravens, and that Packer-Viking game will be unique. You know, listen, Evans hasn't scored since that Buffalo game, which was in week 7. So you're right. People are going to get scared off him a little bit. But we talked about Matt Ryan's numbers. How about Jameis Winston? Since he's returned, he's been solid. He doesn't run. That's the problem, right, Tony? So you don't get that added bonus scramble points, essentially. But how about his numbers against the Falcons last year? He threw for 542 yards, 7 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Winston didn't play in the 34-20 game 3 weeks ago that was in Atlanta. Ryan Fitzpatrick did. But Winston's put up good numbers against the Falcons, too.
Yeah, but when you look at it, he's actually gotten better, a little better since coming back from the injury. He had a 19 and 17 point game the last 2 weeks. He had a 6 and a 3 before the injury, a 28 against Buffalo, which we lit up there. And he's actually, in contrast of Matt Ryan, he's had 4 games this year of over 20 fantasy points, where Matt Ryan's only had 2.
Yeah, the problem is, though, there's only a $400 price tag between the two of them.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Matt Ryan in this spot, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm definitely going there. And when I look at the other games, I'm not expecting Aaron Rodgers to play. Even if he does, he's got the Minnesota defense. Case Keenum, you could sneak in against Green Bay's defense. For all intents and purposes, they're running out the string. So I could see Case Keenum there. So to me, it's the 3 quarterbacks there. The Indianapolis-Baltimore game will avoid both quarterbacks and probably most of the offensive players. The one guy I do have in that Minnesota game, Green Bay game, I have Latavius Murray in my lineup, and I have room for Stephon Diggs. And if you don't pay for the Baltimore defense, I'm going to drop down to the Vikings against, hopefully, Brett Hundley.
I had Murray in my lineup yesterday, $4,900. So it was a nice pick. So let's talk some NBA DFS. And I was talking with Meanie, who's doing the NBA fantasy stuff here, doing a great job. So I was talking with Meanie about this NBA fantasy. It really just comes down to knowing who's injured and getting the right player in there in the mix. And
yes,
you really need a lot of time, Tony. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, I'm looking at the lineup today. Okay, so Porzingis is in, right? So Porzingis is going to play, I'm understanding now.
It's leaning that way, yeah. Here's the thing with the daily fantasy is you really have to be available from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
And you got to get great information like you do at DailyRoto.com. Tonight, starting at for center, Utah's going to have 3 guys out of the game tonight. Ekpe Udoh is the guy we're going to have in every lineup, $3,700 tonight. I guarantee if 62% of the people that watch the NBA don't even know who he is. For Miami tonight, starting at center, Jordan Mickey. He'll be $3,200. These are guys you got to have in your lineup.
Oh, good. This is the knowledge that we're looking for here. Donovan Mitchell's been killing it. Do you like him from a fantasy standpoint? You know, he only scores points, essentially, really.
Yep.
He's got a couple of rebounds as of late, and his price tag's pretty high, so he's not a secret, right?
He's not a secret. The price tag's there. And when Ricky Rubio back in the lineup, he's not getting the assists. You're right. He's only shooting and he's only scoring. And it really diminishes the high point there. I think it's a decent matchup tonight. But if you're looking at it tonight, you could do a little better than that. It looks like Austin Rivers might return tonight, and he's a guy that's at 5,600. L.A. Clippers are decimated with injuries. He'll play 35 minutes in tonight's contest. You'll be able to jump him in there. You're looking at a situation where if Utah does have three injuries,
yep.
Joe Johnson's supposed to be back. He's 3,500 bucks. We can fire him in there.
What about Jordan Bell tonight?
Love him.
Yeah.
Love him. Tonight, he's a guy that his price is starting to rise. It's $4,500 for tonight's action.
He's going to get minutes, though, tonight.
Yeah, he's getting minutes. I mean, it's crazy. Sometimes the other two centers don't even play at all. And we're looking at a guy that can put up almost 30 fantasy points against the Lakers front court that doesn't defend at all. I mean, they use three, four, five bodies in that Lakers front court. Not one of them is a defensive player.
A player that is playing some good ball over the last couple of games, but you got to pay for him. It's Miles Turner right now. He's 15 to 25 from the field, Tony, in the last two basketball games, 71 DK points. And a nice little cachet to this is the guy leads the NBA in blocks as well.
Now, here's the thing with Miles Turner. The Celtics are very good defensively, but the one spot they're weak is against the centers. And so he at $6,300, that's not an exorbitant price tag. I think if you're going to look at a center that you have to pay for tonight, he's one of the best that tonight. There's a whole bunch of cheap centers like Jordan Bell, Jordan Mickey. We talked about Udo. Dario Saric is a guy you can use at power forward and center. Those guys are all right there with Miles Turner. Miles Turner is the one guy that I would pay for tonight.
All right. Who else did I want to hit tonight? As far let's start, you know, I prefer talking about the sleepers that you just gave, shared with people. It's great information. But as far as the big boys are concerned, Kevin Durant, is he a must play tonight against the Lakers?
Kevin Durant, when you look at tonight, the number one guy that I'm going to pay for is Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. I look at these two guys here. Kevin Durant's going against the Lakers and 11,600. Westbrook's 11,200. Westbrook's been doing a great job of getting assists in this game. I think both these games are going to be high-paced games. If you look at it, Oklahoma City's team total is 108 in tonight's game. So they're expected to put up 108 points in that one.
What about Towns, man, at 8,800 bucks here?
Here's the problem with Towns is they have too many offensive weapons over there, and Jimmy Butler's become more involved in the usage rate over there.
That's the key. Is Jimmy
play, but not great.
We don't know if Jimmy's playing yet, right? Is that confirmed?
Right. We don't have definite information there. I mean, he's going to put up 45 points, right?
Yeah.
But that's gets you right at what you need for Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, I'm going to have Jordan Bell in my lineup tonight. That you know, without a doubt. Damian Lillard, McCollum's got real good numbers actually in this series against the T-Wolves. He's played well against the T-Wolves. McCollum's a hit or miss guy though, you know?
Yeah, and McCollum, if Jimmy Butler plays, he probably gets him. So he hadn't had any previous experience against Jimmy Butler there with Minnesota. So he'd be a guy that I would stay away from probably tonight with that price tag. At the shooting guard, I mentioned a couple of guys there. The cheap guy tonight, Milos Teodosic, is a guy that we've all been waiting for. They're running out of guys to play, and he's at 4,900 bucks tonight. And I like Yogi Ferrell against Phoenix. Phoenix is absolutely brutal, the worst team defensively in the league.
I was going to ask you about Yogi Ferrell, actually. All right, so we're going to slip a Mickey. We're going to slip a Mickey tonight, Tony, in my lineup.
That's it. Go get it done, and make sure you throw out all these guys. It's a little crazy. That's why it's so important to be available 6 to 7. You can't have a social life and be good at fantasy basketball.
I know. You really got to do it. Or you tune in. That's why people tune in to you and Dane. 6 o'clock till 7 o'clock. You get caught up to date with all these tidbits and injury update news. Get ready for some NBA DFS tonight. Thanks for the time, Tony.
Take care.
There's that the Tony Sincotta. When there's great stuff with Tony, take a quick break. Paul Bovey joins us next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game time decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's head to Los Angeles, California, and bring in Paul Bovey. Talk about tonight's Monday Nighter in Florida and see what bowl games that Paul has his eye on this week. Bowl play resumes on Tuesday night in Boca Raton, Florida. The Akron Zips and the Florida Atlantic Owls. But we got a Monday night football game tonight. So let's bring in Paul. You can get his picks over at VegasInsider.com. And Paul continues to light it up. He gave us a couple of plays on the show last week. They all won, including the Rams, who just absolutely annihilated and obliterated the Seattle Seahawks. But that's not going to make you any money tonight now, is it? So let's get down to business and talk about the Monday Nighter. Paul, Falcons laying 6.5, total 48.5 in this football game. What's your excitement level on a scale of 1 to 10 for this game tonight?
Well, look, Gabe, there's no way Tampa Bay is going to hold down Atlanta scoring-wise. Here's the problem. I was on Atlanta a few weeks ago. They beat them 34-20. Tampa Bay had some key injuries then, and they have more key injuries tonight. Notably, Lavonte David, their leading tackler, is out. McCoy is out, 40 tackles, 5 sacks. And Hargreaves, cornerback, who was out last time,
yep.
And Julio Jones went off for 260 yards of receiving yards. He was out then. He's out tonight. And the problem is you can't move Brett Grimes over to cover Julio Jones because Brett Grimes is only 5'9", 170 pounds. Julio Jones towers over him. So Atlanta is going to score points tonight. The only question is, can Tampa Bay keep up? And by the way, since Hargreaves has been out, opponents have completed 92 of 129 passes.
Wow.
Against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's a completion percentage of 74.5%, which suggests to me that Matt Ryan is probably going to have a very nice evening tonight along with Devonta Freeman.
Yeah, you know, in the last three games in this series have gone over the number, including that game that you mentioned from 3 weeks ago, 34-20. Ryan Fitzpatrick played in that game. Jameis Winston will be playing this evening. Normally, I'm not a big fan of numbers like this where if a team scores X amount or a guy has this many carries, but I do find it interesting. The Atlanta Falcons are 8-0 when they score at least 20 points this year. Are they going to score 20 more points tonight? Yes. Right? So, okay. Are they going to win a football game then? Yeah, probably yes. So, given this, so Atlanta is 8-0 and they score 20 or more this year. The Buccaneers have given up 20 or more in four straight games. Six of the last past seven games, the Tampa Bay offense has been held to 21 points or fewer. It's hard to hang your hat on anything for Tampa coming into this game tonight, Paul.
By the way, Tampa Bay, last in the league in yards per play, last in the league adjusted sack rate, last in the league third down conversions. Now, Gabe, I've been flip-flopping on Atlanta the last 4 or 5 weeks and getting it right, although last week I did take them. I took the Saints, but I took the Saints plus the 3 because it went 2.5 minus 18, brought it up to the 3. Kamara goes out early, and Atlanta gets a huge break and manages to seal the game 20-17. I am not willing to lay 7 points on the road with the Atlanta Falcons, but I am willing to tease them down to a half a point and play it with my bowl game, and that is Temple, and lay a half a point with Temple as well.
Interesting. So you're not going to play it with the over tonight. You're going to pass on the total tonight. You don't like the over tonight in this game.
I did play the over. I have the over because I do think Atlanta is going to get into the 30s, and I think Tampa Bay will do enough to go over the total. But sidewise, I am not willing to lay 7 points on the road in the NFL. I rarely lay double digits. I did it yesterday with the Vikings. I did it with Atlanta a few weeks ago and got away with it. But on the road, no, sir.
So it's interesting, though. You don't like teasing the same game, right? A side and a total?
Oh, yeah, I'll do it. I mean, I already have a teaser on the total yesterday that I opened up with winning play in the Rams because just in case somehow they ended up blowing that game. I figured 7.5 was solid, so I have the Rams, and I have the over on the teaser here, and I think 42, so I'm willing to sit with that and go a different teaser with Atlanta on the side here.
All right. I like how you're approaching this, and show a little patience, so you'll tease it, and you'll wait for Thursday night, the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. Real classic we have here. Bad Boy Mowers. And the Gasparilla.
What's a Gasparilla anyway? What is it?
It's funny you ask that because I actually know. It's a pirate festival.
Wow. Okay.
You know, they love that stuff down there in Tampa. Like the pirates and pirate themed bars. See, I guess the Gasparilla, it's a Gasparilla festival parade. You know, people dress up as pirates and get wasted essentially.
All right. Any excuse to get wasted. I'm thinking Tipperellas. That's the only thing I know with Rilla at the end. But okay.
All right. So
Tipperella. Okay.
So you got a 6-6 Temple Owl team taking on the FIU. Temple are 7-point favorites in this football game. FIU are an 8-4 team. Butch Davis, former Miami Hurricane and Cleveland Brown head coach, coaching FIU. But you're leaning with Temple here.
It's real simple. Temple is a much improved team under quarterback Frank Neutile, who took over 5 games ago. They're 3-2 in that stretch, and he has won 117 attempts, 81 completions in wins over Army, Navy, Tulsa, and Cincinnati. And he had a really poor game against UCF, 17-40, 4 picks. He apologized to the team that was in cold, windy, frigid conditions, and UCF blew him out. Not on the strength of the Knights' offense, but on the strength of turnovers, because the Knights only had 330 yards of offense. The Temple Owls did a good job against them, 40 carries, 130 yards by the Knights. There was a 35-yard run in there, and the quarterback, 16-23, 208, 3 completions accounted for 122 yards. But Neutile adds a dimension to this offense that they did not have. As I said, 81 for 117 in those wins. And you take FIU and look at their defense, and in those last 4 games, they've given up 95 completions in 142 attempts. And in there, Old Dominion's quarterback Williams, 17-24 for 280, 182 rating, by far and away his best passing performance of the year. FAU ran for 333 on the ground in 46 attempts. There is simply no way Temple is not going to score 40 points here. So if they score 40, you got a really good shot to cover and go over the total, and that's where I think it's going.
Really like where you're going with that, actually, with this total. I think this number's flying under the radar, and I think by the time Thursday comes, that there's probably going to be 58, 59s on the board when people realize the Temple Owls. Like you said, we got to get out of here, Paul, but you're right. Temple, their offense has always been known as pedestrian. They were struggling earlier in the year. They went through a bunch of quarterbacks that all had last names. It sounded like they'd be on the shore of Jersey, the cast of Jersey Shore. And they finally settled on the kid. And you're right, Newtown's been good. They've had 5 straight games go over the number, guys. Temple, last 5 games over the number. Florida International, last 4 games over the number. UMass put 45 up on them. Love what Paul is talking here. Paul, it's always a pleasure, my man. We'll catch up later in the week with Paul Bovey. Get his picks over at VegasInsider.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with our plays of the day coming up next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. We got quite a few of them. You know, I woke up this morning and I wasn't in love with this football game tonight, and I like this teaser a lot, but I still think the Atlanta Falcons are going to cover. I don't want to I don't want to lay 6.5, but I'll lay 6. I'll buy the half point down to 6. I do think this game's going to go over the number. Last three times that these two teams have played, it's gone over the number, including 3 weeks ago, in which they put 54 points up on the board. Jameis Winston didn't play in that game. Fitzpatrick did. Jameis will be playing this evening. And Jameis has good track record against Atlanta as well. There's going to be some points put up on the board tonight. Like the over, it's 48.5. We'll buy half a point. We'll make it 48. We're going to tease the Atlanta Falcons to the over. I'm going to go pretty big on this teaser. I really like this teaser a lot. Matt Ryan and Jameis Winston both over 23.5 completions. They don't put up massive numbers, these guys, with the completions. But Matt Ryan actually had like his best game, 26 of 35 3 weeks ago, and Winston has always had big numbers against the Falcons. We're going to go completions over there. Julio Jones to score a touchdown. He owns the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Get him in your DK lineups, get him in your DFS play, but we're going to bet him to score a touchdown, minus 120. I say yes, he will score a touchdown. Long field goal, over 46.5. NBA quickly, give me the Boston Celtics, -2 with the Pacers. Bulls have won 5 in a row, make it 6, +1.5. We'll lay 5 with the Golden State Warriors against the Lakers. College basketball, Valpo, Santa Clara, over 136. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.